When someone in your family is going through depression, it's hard to know what to say, and I said everything wrong. I'm Sam. Our family went through it, and I just kept saying, come on, let's get it together. The thing I should have been saying is, let's get you to the center, a place of hope. It's a place for you or a place for someone you love who's struggling with depression, anxiety, trauma, eating disorders. So many success stories. It's personal to me. They've actually saved the lives of people I love. If you felt like, I don't know what to do to dig out of this really dark place, and you've tried everything and you can't think of what to do next, make a phone call right now. Call the Center, a Place of Hope.
Hey, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you or someone you love is in a tough spot, stuck, maybe in need of serious help, someone to talk to, you need somebody, I want you to write down this number for the Center, a Place of Hope. The number is 888-726-8125. That number again, 888-726-8125. I think if you write that number down, you're going to be glad you did. I have referred a number of people, a great number of people, to this ministry for special mental health care. They're outstanding. I can give them highest praise. That number again, 888-726-8125. Speak to our colleagues, the admissions team at the Center, a Place of Hope. Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be, especially Christ-centered help. Our friends at A Place for Hope, they're here to help. I hope you'll call today, and may God bless you.
Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. And on behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, visit AACCFoundation.org to donate. Your gift will ensure that this program and your station remain on the air. Now, let's join our hosts, Dr. Tim and Zach Clinton.
Thanks, Jim. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, here to let you know that today and tomorrow we have a special two-part program featuring an interview my son and co-host Zach Clinton did with a very special lady, Miss Erin Kelly Bean. She's a New York Times bestselling author, young voice for such a time as this. Erin attended Liberty University with Zach, where she earned her Bachelor of Science degree in Digital Media and Strategic Communication. She's the daughter of Jim and Jill Kelly. Jim, of course, is that NFL Hall of Fame quarterback from the Buffalo Bills. While at Liberty, Erin met her husband, Parker Bean. The two got married in 2018, recently moved back to Buffalo. Erin's always had a passion for writing and sharing her faith. She has a podcast and leads a special nonprofit called Hunter's Hope Foundation. Hunter's Hope addresses the need for information and research with respect to Krabs disease. Its mission is to support those afflicted and their families as they struggle to endure and cope with the demands of fatal illnesses. Erin faced her own challenges as a little girl. She had to grapple with her own family's journey alongside of her baby brother, Hunter. And she talks directly to young women about depression and anxiety and how their faith can be an anchor. You may be in that valley right now. Erin has walked through that valley and has come out the other side, and God's got a hold of her heart. You're going to love this conversation as we get to know Erin Kelly Bean here on Life, Love, Faith, and Family.
Miss Erin Kelly Bean, thank you so much for joining me today, my friend.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, let me tell you, because of my longstanding friendship and relationship with your husband, Parker, I feel like this is a conversation that has been a long time coming. I've been encouraged and inspired by all the amazing things that you and your family are doing. So I can't wait to dive into that stuff today. We're in a mental health disaster. We know that things such as anxiety, depression, addiction, suicide, all of these things are on the rise to levels that we've never even seen before, Erin. And so this is an imperative time to have conversations, to have dialogue, discussions just like we're about to have today, to expose some of the darkness, some of the challenges that we face, but also to expose those things to the light, to talk about flourishing, to talk about resilience, to talk about hope. You know, as I mentioned, you've been an encouragement to me because you're very authentic, you're very vulnerable. You started a podcast of your own called Light Your Heart with Hope, and it has been an encouragement in my my life. I've listened to several episodes, and I appreciate, again, all of the authenticity in which you share. But I think you just hit it on the head, why it's so important to have these types of conversations, to have a podcast like your own, to have even the merchandise, the gear that you're wearing, right? Keep going. It's important because we live in a culture and society, for whatever reason, that has equated brokenness with embarrassment and humiliation. Causes this sense of hiddenness, this sense of shame. We, in a sense, are suffering in silence, and we know that we were created for relationship. We were created for community. What I love about your episodes and even the titles of your episodes, they kind of shed a light on this. You don't have to suffer in silence. Healing is possible, and that we serve a God who is in our midst, and he is walking with us every step of the way. Aaron, speak to why you started this podcast and what it has done for you personally in your own growth and healing journey.
Well, the Let Your Heart With Hope podcast actually was started by my grandmother, who is the CEO of the Hunter's Hope Foundation, which is my family's nonprofit foundation to help raise awareness about the disease that my brother had. And it really took off from sharing people's stories. My grandma had this vision to share stories of families who had gone through similar things that our family did with their children who had the similar disease. And my grandma asked me to come in and to take over and be the host of it. And it really just grew from there. It grew from sharing stories of hope in the midst of heartbreak and loss and grief to then my mom and I talking about our own stories and talking about mental health. And it's really amazing how it transformed and it grew, and we are impacting people's lives and talking about things that people don't always want to talk about, talking about grief and loss and mental health, things that our family has been impacted by. And so the platform to just share our own story and to encourage people, and it's exactly what the title is, Light Your Heart With Hope. And that really is a tagline that has been a part of our family's foundation for a long time. And we are kind of rebranding. We're in a rebranding process right now. But I am just so thankful for how God has used this podcast, how he continues to use it to meet people right where they are. And I'm excited for what God has in store for it, for sure.
Well, thank you again just for shedding a light on some of the challenges that we all face. As you mentioned, no one's a stranger to pain and adversity in this life. You're not alone as we go through these things, but also in reminding us that hope is always possible, because hope is a person and hope has a name, and that name is Jesus. Aaron, you know, before we dive into even some deeper things, some difficulties, some challenges that you've walked through, you've endured personally, I want to start up front by mentioning that your dad, right? A lot of people may be familiar with your dad. We've had him on the podcast before, the great Buffalo Bills Hall of Fame quarterback, Jim Kelly, right? You grew up around the stadium wearing the red, white, and blue, probably chanting, "Let's go, Buffalo," your entire life. You didn't just have a dad who was an NFL quarterback. He was like a superstar NFL quarterback. What was life like for you personally growing up and even still to today going to all of the games? What's that been like?
Honestly, it's funny because I've been asked that question many times. And growing up, I always tell people, I'm like, growing up, I didn't know that he was who he is. I didn't really understand the whole celebrity thing. To me, he was just my dad. He was the one who was in the backyard throwing a softball with me or whatever it was. He was just my dad. But the interesting thing is as I was little, like, people would come up to us wherever we were. If we were eating dinner at a restaurant or out shopping, like, people would come up to us, ask for pictures and autographs. So I'm not really sure why I didn't get the memo as a young kid. But as I started to grow up, it became very obvious to me that my dad was more than just my dad. He was a celebrity, and people love him, and people still love him. And people come up to me and they're like, "We love your dad." And the amazing thing, though, is that while he is known for what he did on the field, he's more known for what he did off the field and the struggles that he went through with cancer and with losing my brother, Hunter. And it's just incredible how God used his platform and continues to use his platform with being what I believe one of the best quarterbacks ever to play. I might be a little biased, but I'm just saying. But to use that platform to then impact people's lives for a greater purpose and to share his faith and what God has done in his life. And so to go back to what you said, I mean, growing up, It was definitely not something I fully understood until I was a little older. And then I was like, okay, Dad, you're kind of cool. You're kind of a cool guy. So I'll give you that. But yeah. And two, growing up in a household where your dad is famous and you live in Buffalo, New York, where it's a town where everyone is about football. Like Buffalo is the city where you love the Bills. Everyone loves the Bills. You see Bills jerseys everywhere you go. And so growing up in that, it wasn't always easy. There's a lot of expectations that come with that, a lot of pressure that comes with that. And that was something that I definitely had to navigate growing up.
You know, I recently contributed a chapter and an appendix to a book by my dear friend, Dr. Mark Mayfield. He's writing a book called The Mental, in a sense, I'm trying to think what it's even called. It's the Mental Health Playbook or something for the church is what it's called. And he's kind of shedding a light on how to walk through life with all sorts of different individuals that suffer different challenges. And my specific contributing chapter and appendix was related to walking alongside of children who are raised in high-performing, high-achieving families. Very much so like you, like your sister, like your brother, because the thing about it, it can be difficult, and as you mentioned, it can come with a lot of perks. It can be super exciting to go to all the games and all that stuff, to see your dad signing autographs. But as you mentioned, there's also some unique pressures, the expectation to meet the standard that everybody has for you, to kind of step out of the shadows, what that even means, what that even looks like. Aaron, on top of that, you've had to navigate the loss of your younger brother, Hunter, as you mentioned, at a very young age. Some other family traumas along the way, I'm sure. Lyme disease. And what I believe is potentially a culmination of all of those things and what you had mentioned and a lot of the traumas is this battle, in a sense, with anxiety and depression over the last several years. You know, Aaron, I would love if you just take the time to kind of shed a light on your journey and what it has been like in this road, especially as of recent.
Yeah, you know, talking about high performance and all of those things growing up, like I said, with my dad being who he is, it does come with a lot of perks. Like you said, there is value in that. It can be exciting to do certain things that some people can't do. And it's interesting. I've had friends who don't fully know me. New friends have said to me, you know, you look like you have this perfect life. You look like you have it all together and everything is smooth sailing for you. And the reality is it's not. And it really never has been. And my brother was born with a genetic disease called Krabbe leukodystrophy, and it's a fatal genetic disease. And that is what Hunter's Hope, our foundation, is all about, is bringing awareness to that, providing hope for people in the midst of it. And I always say that Hunter's the reason why I know who Jesus is. He's the reason why I have put my faith in Christ. My family always says that it was the suffering of Hunter that led us to Christ's suffering. And it's so true. And Hunter died when I was 10. And a 10-year-old girl doesn't know how to grieve. They don't understand loss. And I definitely did not know what to do with the pain of losing my brother. Because as such a young kid, I don't think I realized what he was actually going through. I didn't realize, although he was completely disabled and had to be on oxygen 24/7, there was something about him where he was just my brother. And I didn't see the pain and the illness. And so him going to heaven was a complete shock to me. And as such a young kid, I did not know how to deal with it. And so I buried it. I hid my pain and just didn't talk to anyone about it. And it definitely caught up with me as I got older, because you can only shove your emotions and pain down for so long. It eventually has to come up. And as I was growing up, the pain of losing Hunter, on top of watching my dad go through cancer. My dad was diagnosed with cancer for the first time when I was finishing my senior year of high school. And then a year later, he was diagnosed again. And that time he was given a 10% chance of living. And it's amazing how doctors today even say that it's a complete miracle. Doctors who aren't believers are saying it's a miracle. We really did not think that there was any possible cure. And so during that season, though, it was extremely hard to think about losing the second most important male figure in my life, losing my brother, and then fear of losing my dad. But I tried to be strong. I continued to just shove down any pain that I was going through and experiencing. And then he was diagnosed with cancer for a third time. And that third time actually came after my husband Parker and I got married. And it's different. It's a different story when you're married and you're walking alongside a parent who is really, really struggling and dying almost. I mean, we had no idea what was going to happen. And so there is hope and joy along the way. It wasn't all pain. Like I said, I got married to Parker and he's the most amazing man that I know. And I'm so thankful that I get to call him my husband. But, you know, we went through a very difficult time and season. And after my dad battled cancer for the third time, I think it was about a year later, I started struggling with my own mental health and battling deep depression and anxiety. And a part of that is also Lyme disease, like you mentioned. I was diagnosed with Lyme in 2020, and not a lot of people understand Lyme. It's something that a lot of people have, but not enough people talk about. And Lyme causes a lot of inflammation in your brain, which can lead to a lot of mental health problems. And so that, on top of going through trauma and grief, it all kind of came together in this perfect storm. And it was hard. I had gone for over 10 years of being in a lot of physical pain that no doctors could figure out, which is actually what led me to counseling, because my mom was like, well, maybe this is emotional weight you're carrying. And at the time, I didn't know that physical pain and mental pain go hand in hand. And that when you are enduring trauma and carrying mental, emotional weight, your body's going to respond to it. And so that healing journey has taught me so much. It has been so painful, and I would never want to go through it again. And do I still struggle with Lyme? Do I still struggle with my mental health? Absolutely. I don't think that it just goes away. But God has brought me so far. He has brought incredible people into my life that have chosen to walk through it with me, who have chosen to sit in the valley with me and say, I'm here with you and I'm not going anywhere. And so I have learned so much through this journey I have been on, and I'm so thankful. And it's crazy to even say this, to be thankful for the valley, to be thankful for the pit. But in the pit, I realized that Jesus is the point. He's the point of it all, and that he was meeting me in that place. Parker and I have a stronger relationship than we did 5 years ago. When you are going through the kind of pain that I did, both of us suffered. There was so much pain in the midst of our marriage, and yet God has brought us through so much. And so it's crazy to say that I'm thankful, but I am.
Come on, Aaron. That's some good stuff right there. I love that. In the pit, I realized that Jesus was the point. And I love that verse myself. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, right? It's so imperative to recognize that God has never left us, right? He's never forsaken us. Sometimes when we're there, we can be so upset with God. Like, why would you allow something like this to happen to me? I was just interviewing Megan Faith Marshman recently, who she's gone through grief of her own. She lost her husband 3 years ago, and she has a book titled Meant for Good out of Romans 8, 28 and 29. And she said, so many of us take that promise of God out of context, though. You know, when we realize that, you know, for we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God and who have been called according to his purpose. Sometimes our situations, they don't seem very good. And it can be easy to play the blame game, to point the finger up to heaven and say, why are you allowing this to happen to me? Number one, I don't believe that God just allows bad things to happen to us. I believe he's in our midst experiencing them alongside of us, like you said, as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death together. But I also believe that sometimes we have a misinterpreted context of what good really means. Good in culture and society, we think it means comfortable and convenient and easy and successful. But what good really means is in verse 29 when it says, for those God foreknew, he also predestined that we would be conformed to the image of his son, right? So sometimes when you're in the midst of the valley, it's some things such as patience, perseverance, perspective, whatever it may take to conform us to the image of Christ. We can look at it as very good, and we can be thankful, like you said, for those things. You know, let me ask you this, Aaron. There might be somebody watching or listening today who feels like they're in the midst of the pit, that they're in the midst of the valley, and they're encouraged by your words and recognizing that God is in the midst of those things alongside of them. But they're like, where do I start? how do I, you know, what are practical steps for me? What are some takeaways? What are some of those lessons that you feel like God has revealed to you in the midst of your pit to help you in this healing journey?
First and foremost, I would say the place to start is to let go and to let God meet you where you are. I tried so hard to hold on. I tried so hard to be strong and to in my own strength. And I had to get to the point where I was like, okay, God, here it is. I am not in control and I don't want to be in control. And so first I would say to let go. Go to God just as you are. I think we have this idea that we have to come to God perfect, that we have to come to God with it all together. And that's not the case. God wants us to come to him just as we are in the midst of the mess, in the midst of the pain, to come to him and say, God, I can't do this on my own. I need you. And so I would say to start there. Another thing is to be in community. We cannot struggle alone. We're not meant to. That's something I really learned is that I need to let people into my pain. I need to allow people to come alongside me and to be there with me. You cannot heal in isolation, and you can also not heal in hiding. That is something that I learned the hard way, is that the more I hid the pain, the more I hid what I was doing to cope with my pain, the more I was hurting. The more you hide, the more you're going to hurt. And so I would encourage the person listening to come out of hiding. Let people into your pain. Let people into what you're going through. And be honest, be real, be vulnerable. And those are some things that I really had to learn along the way. But they changed my life. They rescued me. They helped me along the way to know that I didn't have to go through this alone. And I just want to speak to the person listening and say that you're not alone, that you're not the only one that's struggling, and that there are people that feel that pain, that know what you're going through. And so that is something I needed to know when I was going through this journey, was that I wasn't alone. And so I think that God longs for you to come to him. Another thing that has helped me, which I do realize that not everybody has this opportunity, but if you do, to get counseling has been instrumental in my life. It has been essential. I don't know if I would even be here having this conversation with you had I not had counseling and someone to really intercede for me and say, you know, God's in this and he's with you and I'm going to help you through this. And so those are just some things that I would say. There's so much more that I could say about what I've learned, but I'm also still learning. I believe that we're always learning. We're always growing in Christ, and God is always showing us the next step. And that's something that I've had to entrust to him. And I encourage the listener to entrust in him too, is the next step, the next breath. We want to be all the way over here in healing. And healing is more like all the way around like this. And I know in counseling, like, you understand that, but just healing is not linear.
Healing is not linear. Well said, and so true. I love that conversation. It's not over. We just need to stop there for today as we are fighting that clock. But join us again tomorrow here for part two of Zach's conversation with Aaron Kelly Bean on hope, heart, faith, and strength to overcome some of life's biggest challenges. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
If someone in your family has depression or anxiety, it's hard to know what to do. We went through that. I'm Sam. The center is a place of hope. Lives are being healed. God is changing families.
Coming to the center, it's just life altering. My relationship with my husband, my relationship with my family.
Struggling to keep it all together, or no one knows, or you're hiding things, or you feel like you've hit some crisis.
It's amazing to think that there could be so much change.
Man, I'm so grateful for the center. It's so helpful for me, and I'm so hopeful.
The center, a place of hope. Call today. a lot of people are surprised that insurance can help cover this.
Dive in, give yourself all to it. Watch what happens.
Call the Center, A Place of Hope, right now.
Hey, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you or someone you love is in a tough spot, stuck, maybe in need of serious help, someone to talk to, you need somebody, I want you to write down this number for the Center, A Place of Hope. The number is 888-726-8125. That number again, 888-726-8125. I think if you write that number down, you're going to be glad you did. I have referred a number of people, a great number of people, to this ministry for special mental health care. They're outstanding. I can give them highest praise. That number again, 888-726-8125. Speak to our colleagues, the admissions team at the center, A Place of Hope. Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be, especially Christ-centered help. Our friends at A Place for Hope, they're here to help. I hope you'll call today, and may God bless you.